Welcome to Elevate Her Podcast, where women in the insurance industry have stimulating conversations, giving you a real insight into the insurance industry through the lens of women. I'm your host, Edwina McKinnon, and I am so excited for you to be tuned in today. I've been in the industry for, believe it or not, over a decade, and I am so happy to be in this position right now. In each podcast, you'll experience thought-provoking conversations, and we'll be speaking with some of the brightest minds in the industry. We'll be making an impact by confronting challenging topics, sharing our experiences, and providing real actionable items that you can all take away. I would love to take the opportunity to first introduce and welcome my panel of exceptional women to the Elevate Her podcast. We will actually just go round table at this time to have our speakers introduce themselves. At this time, we're going to start with Risa.
Thank you, Edwina. So thrilled to be here. So I've spent 25 years in insurance on a whole bunch of different roles, but most recently as a CEO, and before that, general counsel and head of claims and in governance. But right now, I let my real interest in equity, diversity, and inclusion lead me back to a legal role. So I miss insurance, and I'm so thrilled to be involved today because of that. And I look forward to speaking with both you and Bianca.
Awesome. Nice to meet you, Risa. I'm so excited to have you here. What a powerhouse you are. And we are so excited that you can be here today. So next, we're going to have Bianca Knight to go ahead and introduce herself.
My name is Bianca Knight, and I've been in the insurance industry for about 3 years, almost three years. So I'm pretty new. I started off in personal lines at a smaller brokerage. Then we got bought out. And then most recently, I just got into a new brokerage. I've been there for about 3 months, and my role has now changed to like new business development. So I have the opportunity now to do personal lines and a little bit of commercial. So that's pretty much my journey. It's not as creative as Risa's, but I'm getting there. You're definitely goals. And I'm excited. Thank you so much, Edwina, for having me. And I can't wait to get into some good conversation.
Well, lovely to have you, Bianca. We are so excited to have you a part of this journey with us, episode 2. So let's dive in. Today's episode, we're going to be discussing negotiating salary to move up the ladder. This is a part 1 to a part 2 series. So with that being said, let's just dive right in. So I think the first step with this conversation is really looking at the current state of, you know, what that moving up the ladder looks like. So right now, I guess we can really start to dive in on what that current state looks like. Risa, we would love to start off with you with kind of leading this conversation for us.
You know, I do really converge the issues of pay and moving up the ladder because they really go hand in hand. And over the course of my career in insurance, I've really come to like thinking of these as three different key items to make that move, and then an add-on fourth, which we'll sort of get to afterwards. So for me, it's really about one thing that's really gendered is that women aren't taught, and young girls in particular, we're not taught to value what our skill sets are. What traits do we have that differentiate us? How will those traits lead to monetization some way? So as we think about this idea of moving up the ladder, to me, the first one is really about this idea of knowing your value. And you could say that differently. You could say it as self-promotion. But the issue is that I think really in a gendered way, self-promotion is a bit of a yucky word for women, yucky being a very key term. We don't tend to love the word self-promotion. We don't tend to like self-promotion. So there's a bit of stigma associated, which is why I've come to think of it as this idea of understanding who we are, what our value is, and really being able to express that in a really clear way. So from an action plan kind of perspective, what I started doing quite some time ago is really living with a kind of mini CV, mostly in my head, but often sort of written down somewhere about what my recent accomplishments are. And if anyone were to ask me, what do I think are the things I bring to the market of insurance? I have this little blurb about my highlights, my value, and what I bring to the table. And I think the value of it is that you don't have to have that stigma of self-promotion. You can do it in any way you feel comfortable. It's not bragging because it's fact-based. And if it's factual, it's not bragging. And we move a little bit away about from that concern about, am I being annoying? Have I crossed over that line of productivity? And I think if you sort of carry that with you and update it, it really helps to make that move. I was taught this a really long time ago, like when I was 17. And I was working at camp and I had a camp director basically tell me I had done a fine job during the summer. And I was like, fine? What do you mean, fine? And he said, I have the sense that there's way more to you than what you're showing us. So you show us everything. Tell us about you. And if you want to come back next summer, I want you to bring all of that to the table. And at first, my 17-year-old self was pretty annoyed. But it's actually been such a wonderful lesson. I went back that next summer. I have to say, and hopefully a non-braggy way, I knocked that year out of the park. It was totally different. And it taught me that there's so much value to knowing my value. So that's, I think, sort of point number one that I would say is really needed. Point number two, authenticity, which is everyone's talking about authenticity right now. I think the pandemic has given rise to this desire for authenticity. But for me, it's about bringing your whole self to work and truly being you. I've been in the business so long that we were told, you know, don't do that. Be fit into this box. Don't cry at work. And I happen to be easily moved to tears, happy and sad. And so I was this rigid little person who wasn't myself. But in the last little while, in the last sort of 3-4 years, I've really embraced this idea of it's me, and it's me whether I'm at work or whether I'm at home. And I have found that it really helped me move up the career path because people want to see you for you. And I really think it makes a big difference. The third point that I wanted to emphasize was this idea of meritocracy. So I think women more than men have this idea that we will be promoted based purely on merit. And I lived that for a really long time. And at first you are, because you're junior and you're moving up the ladder because there's lots of different roles that are available when you first start out. But as promotions become harder to come by, that slows down. And I also, that was something that I really explored in my later career in insurance, because I was frustrated that I saw all of my great cohort of insurance people who I literally grew up with all running companies. And I couldn't understand how it was that I hadn't been able to get there. And so I asked my boss at the time, and he said, well, what do you think gets you there? And I said, merit. And he said, no, it's not a meritocracy. It is you telling everyone what your value is, what you bring to the table, and asking. He said, you haven't asked, Risa. So I think really those were three things that really hit me when I thought about this topic, that as women, I think we're not taught those things. I think the guys do it a lot better. That's part of their messaging. And I really think as we start moving forward in the business and outside of it, taking those three different steps will make a difference both for promotion, and we can also tie it back to monetary gain.
Thank you so much for that answer. Like, just going back to your first point about like knowing your value and speaking up. And I think a lot of women, like you said something that's so key, a lot of women is not taught to speak up and to own their truth. And that's like one of the first things, right? Is like looking at things that are embedded for so long, right? So I definitely agree with you. And a lot of the time we focus on gender wage gap, but I think what you just said is gender confidence gap. There's a huge gender confidence gap right now that's happening in the industry with women where, you know, if you speak up too much, you're kind of put in a certain classification of, you know, causing too much friction. And if you speak up too less, you get kind of overlooked and kind of like not brought to the table. But I think that is so key, you know, when it comes to promotions and moving up the ladder is, you know, that confidence, right? And really owning it. I would love to hear from you, Bianca, with what you think about this whole gender confidence and maybe if it's something that you've experienced, and just love to hear from you.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you were saying, Risa. I agree with the whole having that confidence, being young in the industry, being a woman, being a Black woman. I think it's really, I wouldn't say hard, but I find that I struggle with imposter syndrome. I'm sure everyone else has that. So I feel like it's just kind of like gaining my own, trying to understand where I kind of fit in. And like you said, gaining that confidence and knowing my self-worth and knowing like, okay, I may not see a lot of people like me, but I deserve to be here. Like I did the work and I know what I'm doing. You know, it's about remembering, like, you know what you're doing. You're good at what you do and having that confidence, like you said, to just know that you're worth that promotion or you're worth speaking up. And one thing that you touched on as well, Edwina, was that friction. You know, if you say too much, you might be looked at as coming off too aggressive or, oh, like, you know, she's gonna ruffle some feathers. Or if you don't say enough, then you get pushed to the side. So it's kind of just finding that in between and just knowing like, I got this and I'm going to do this and sticking with it. I feel like that's something that I struggle with, but having spaces like this is awesome because it's just that reminder that like, no, it's okay. You got this. And it's good to speak up and be confident.
And to like, you know, that was one of the reasons why I actually created the podcast was because I was running into a lot of women that was like petrified to speak up. And I remember like going into like meetings at work and, you know, I would speak up, but then, you know, other women won't. And I would come out of the meetings feeling like unsupported. But when you actually dig deep, a lot of the women are afraid, you know, they're afraid that if they speak up, they may even become blacklisted, they may never get that promotion. And, you know, to be honest, it's something that is real. Like, you know, it is something that is happening. And I find even like when we look at our counterparts, like men, you know, they are so confident. Like if they walk into a room, like they are owning it. And as we move to the 21st century right now, I find more women are speaking up and are, you know, looking at ways to really change the game and change the system to what we're used to. But I came in the industry 10 years, over a decade ago. So I came in when speaking up wasn't encouraged and being quiet was encouraged. So, you know, it is a tough battle that we are facing as women. We are 2021, and believe it or not, we are still facing things that we experienced probably 20 years ago. So even listening to Risa's journey and story, it's very telling that things are still kind of helping. I wonder, you know, how do we fix this problem with women? Like, do we offer more courses, more grooming opportunities? I would love to hear from you, Risa, with any thoughts around that.
So for me, I really think that's mentorship. So one of the things, that's why I also emphasize the authenticity, because, you know, for a long time, so speaking up wasn't my concern, to be perfectly honest. I think one of the things that we learned sort of in the early part of the industry is that what we had to do was speak up in a way that people would listen to. And so it's actually a pretty learned skill. And it also doesn't mean changing yourself dramatically. So if you can actually, you can have a view, you can express that view, and you can do it without pissing people off. And that's why I think all those three things about knowing your value, understanding your own authenticity, and bringing both of those to that kind of response makes a difference, number one. And number two, there are women like yourself, Edwina, and myself who've been in the business for a really long time. And I do really believe there's role models enough now for people to see that. So they see there are ways to bridge that difference. They see there's a way to have your say, to have a voice, and have it come out okay at the end. Not only okay, but beneficially at the end of the day. So, and I also will always, usually whether it's asked for or not, give people advice. So if I'm in a meeting and I see someone sort of reacting in a way that I think at the end of the day is going to be harmful, I will put them aside and I will say, you know what, can we just chat about that a little bit? Totally understand how you got there, but let's think if there's a way for us to frame that a little bit differently so that this is a gentrified business. Let's sort of call it what it really is. It's a gentrified business. So can we find a way to say the things we really feel we need to say and yet do it in a way that fits within the way that we know business is done in insurance? And I do think there's enough now that we can find a path there.
You did touch upon a point, right? Is like learning about your value, right? Learning, you know, what you bring to the table. And that affects you for sure with like what job you go for, how you negotiate your pay. Because if you know what you bring to the table, then you know how to be very vocal. Something that you touched upon too is representation and grooming. Right now, you know, I feel like there is a lot of limitations when it comes to grooming, like to particular people that are being groomed and who's being chosen to get groomed. So right now, I know, like, you know, with 2020 and 2021, with the whole pandemic, a lot of people are taking a step back and doing a lot of like soul searching and analyzing themselves to see, okay, what next? And believe it or not, I was reading an article where it said 56% of women have either quit their job during the pandemic. I know I see your face, Risa, but yeah, it's alarming the percentage right now of women that are like, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. And people are moving positions. And I'm actually one of them. I switched a job within a pandemic because I was like, you know what, I was trying to find a table that I was welcomed at, and I moved to a company called Apollo Insurance, where one of our core values is candor. So I would love to hear from you, Bianca, because I know you are coming into the industry, and, you know, I know me and Risa's been in the industry for a long time, but I would love to hear from your lens, like what's really going on. How has it been for you, like getting into the industry and really owning and telling people your value?
Well, I actually got into insurance by accident. It wasn't even something that I wanted to do or thought of doing, but now that I'm in it, I love it. And I too actually made a career switch in the pandemic, and it was so scary. And for the first time in my life, I was actually challenged to see my worth, because the brokerage that I was at before, like I said, they had an acquisition. So they were a small brokerage and I was happy. Then they got bought out. So it was a completely different switch. I wasn't used to the corporate. I've been in corporate positions before, but I wasn't used to just going from like, you know, a small brokerage to like a huge brokerage. It was American, and like they came in like a force, and I felt like I knew what I wanted to do. And as soon as we made that switch, I felt lost. Like maybe I started to feel like, oh my gosh, maybe what I thought I could do, I can no longer do, because now the possibilities just seemed like impossible. So that was my experience. And I had to sit down and really figure out what it is I wanted for myself. I had a lot of conversations with friends and family that reminded me, like, you bring a lot to the table. You've been in the industry for 3 years. Yes, you have people that have been in it longer than you, but you still have a lot of knowledge. You've gained a lot of knowledge in the last 3 years. So you should be going into interviews with that confidence, saying like, this is what I bring to the table. And you know what they say, fake it till you make it. And that's what I did. And it felt amazing just to be empowered enough to remind, I had to, like in the interviews, I was reminding myself like, yes, Bianca, you've been in this for 3 years. You know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. And it was great. It was really empowering. And again, I so appreciate you for bringing me onto this panel, because it was also a reminder, like people are seeing you, like you don't need to be hidden. You don't need to feel hidden.
Yeah, that's like, you know, again, going back to why I started this podcast, because we need to hear from every woman, not just a particular group that we're used to seeing, like bringing everybody to the table. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your journey. But something that, you know, really resonates with me, what Risa said earlier, is asking for what you want. And I feel like a lot of the times women will sit there, and because they've been with the company for, let's say, X amount of time, that they think that people should just know what they want and should just know where they should be placed. And I feel like this is something that's deeply like embedded and rooted with women, where we don't really be vocal and ask for things. And, you know, it's something that's really dear to my heart, is really starting to ask for what you want and be okay with that. Because at the end of the day, companies are not going to know how to promote you, where to use you, if you're not asking for what you want. And I think that's so important.
And I think the key thing, Edwina, is that it doesn't mean it's going to be successful every time, but you start the conversation and you lay the groundwork for the fact that this is where you're looking. This is where you think you'll be. What do I need to get there? Like the conversations that start out of that ask are, I think, some of the most interesting parts of this, because there's also lots of parts of the business that you may not even know exist. And yet asking for something different will give rise to people saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? So, I found it to be, and I've been in the business for a super long time, that was very daunting. It's really daunting to walk into your boss or bosses and say, I'd love to have a discussion about where I go next, when you don't know what the answer is going to be. But it's one of those things where you take the risk. And I would also add that I also moved in the pandemic. So that this, you know, all of us have taken the risk. And it's a risk when all you've done really is meet some of your colleagues on video and you're like a little box on the side. So we're getting used to those risky propositions. And I think it, again, will feed people with confidence to say, I've done things that I was uncomfortable with. I can do this. I can ask, and we'll see where the answer is.
I totally agree with you. And that's interesting that you also moved during the pandemic. I have a feeling that this stat of 56% of women moving is actually accurate, because a lot of the women that I'm speaking with, they're actually, you know, either moving to a different industry or moving to a different brokerage or a different insurance company. But it's quite interesting that, you know, women, we needed a pandemic to really slow us down. And I feel like women were like consistently on the go, but it's good that the pandemic kind of happened. It has its pros and cons, but I think even for us three, we were able to press pause and really figure out, okay, what is it that I want? And something that Bianca said that sits with me is like, you know, taking a step back and being like, okay, is this what I want? Because I know so much women, like they have like loyalty to one company, and some of the times, I'm just going to say it, the company does not have that much type of loyalty to you. So it's so interesting. Like, Bianca, I would love to hear more about that. Like, how did you feel like, you know, working for that company and then all of a sudden, you know, taking that pause and just being like, wow, I'm no longer in alignment with this brokerage. Like what courage did you have? Like, what steps did you take to feel comfortable to move?
To be honest, I was scared. And they always say, when you're scared about something, that means that you're really passionate about it. Something that, you know, that you really want to do. So I was like, you know what, if I'm scared to make this change, it's something that I deep down probably need to do for myself in order to see growth. I had a lot of conversations with family and friends. They pushed me and they said, if you're not happy, like, you need to make that switch. So I just did it. I made the switch and I'm so happy that I did. And I feel like you said, the pandemic slowed me down enough to realize that I wasn't happy, because it was something that I wanted to do for about a year, but I just was too scared. Again, imposter syndrome, not thinking that I was good enough to take on another role. I haven't been in the industry long enough. Who would want to, like, you know, hire me? And like, again, being a woman, I'm just thinking like, I need to stay where I am. I need more experience. It was always, I need more experience. But like you said, the pandemic slowed me down and just made me realize you have enough experience. And, you know, everywhere you go, you're going to learn. You know, I got into the industry not knowing anything, and now I have 3 years experience. You just have to take that risk, and good things come when you take risk and when you make change. So I just kind of made the change, and I've been happy ever since. I haven't been there that long, but I've felt way more empowered than I ever have being in my other position. So I'm happy that I did it. And I would encourage anybody that's like struggling with that decision to just do it, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to be happy and you're going to look back and be like, I'm so happy I did this for myself.
Kind of reminds me of like the slogan from Nike, like, just do it. Like, I think us women, we think about things for so long. And if we look at our men, our counterparts, like, they will, like, you know, go to like a golf session or tournament and they make decisions right there, or they go to offer drinks and they make decisions. But women, we know we have to make a change. We know our worth. We know what we bring to the table, but yet we sit on our gifts for like months and months and months. And we're just kind of sometimes waiting for somebody to see us and to use us. But like Bianca, like what you said, it's like, no, it's like, you know, have that confidence to just kind of own it and just like really have that courage to take on, you know, that like self-promotion and moving to something that's going to be better. And I always say this, like, not every table that you go to is for you. So the industry is quite big and it's quite small at the same time, but there's so much different tables that you can sit at and really find, you know, a good fit and where you belong. But, you know, that really leads us into our next segue into, you know, really about the self-promotion and, you know, getting up the ladder. Do you guys feel like right now it's tough to actually find other women that can mentor you and groom you right now to something that you would love to be? I'd love to hear from you both about that.
I guess it's a little bit flip for me because I'm, you know, sort of, I've been in the business for so long, so I'm often asked to mentor, and I do a lot. I've been asked far more during the pandemic to talk about options and to talk things through, which I love. And so I don't really think it's more difficult. That's from my other perspective. I think a lot of women who've had a long history in the business are really, really so desirous of having those discussions. And I think the other thing it gives us the opportunity to do, which is really also a gendered thing that we need to improve, is climbing and lifting. So one of the things the guys do so well, when they get promoted, they bring their whole team. Their whole team comes up with them. And so we have to do that. So as we climb, we have to look around us to the women and men, but the women who have worked with us and have helped us move up the ladder and bring everybody up. And now that may mean new roles. That may mean an additional income. That may mean adding to someone's income so that will give them the ability to move up next time. And I really, having talked to a lot of the women that I've known in the business a long time, we're really focused on that. We're really focused on climbing and lifting, which will then give so many other opportunities for mentorship as people rise in the business and as people enter. So I think that I see a lot of that and I'm really optimistic about it.
Risa, you are dropping some gems today. Oh my gosh, if I can actually just like drop like some bombs right now, like you honestly like hit a good point, like elevating each other and just like with the like our actual like podcast name Elevate Her is because you know, Denzel Washington actually said something that really keeps like in my head. He said a speech where it's like each one teach one, and if you're moving up the ladder, you need to start bringing other people. You know, like you made a good point, like I call it the like it's almost like a boys club, like that's going on where like one person moves up and then they're bringing like their whole like you know, gang with them. But like with women, it's almost the opposite. And to be fair, like I feel like when one woman moves up, it's almost like she's like holding on to dear life to make sure that she's the only one moving up. But at the end of the day, we need to look at the system. Why is there only one seat for women? And I feel like that's where a lot of the competition comes in, where women don't want to bring up another person. But that's actually my motto as well. It's like, if I'm moving up the ladder, like, I need to bring everybody with me, right? And even when I did this podcast, I'm like, this is going to be a great opportunity. I'm like, you know, I don't just want to be the only one talking. I said, let me pay it forward and let me bring other women to have a seat here on the podcast to really be able to speak. But I feel like people need to have this mentality, though. It's like, you know, let's start to change that mentality where, you know, instead of us getting competition, like competitive with each other, let's start to really analyze the system. Why is there only one seat for women, you know, at the table? And sometimes when we look at the C-suite, we don't really see a whole lot of women. And just to bring it down to like for my background, I don't really see a whole lot of Black women, you know, being brought to the C-suite. So it's very important that we look at, you know, representation, because it does matter, right? I have a son who is 7. You know, he needs to see somebody in that C-suite so he can be like, wow, I really want to be like that person. And ever since, you know, I launched the podcast, I've been getting a lot of messages from different women, like asking for mentorship, asking for grooming. And sometimes I was a little bit overwhelmed. I'm like, I didn't realize that there was so much gaps right now in the industry where women are struggling to, I know you said, Risa, that it's there, but sometimes I feel like there's that glass where, you know, you don't want to message somebody, you don't know how they're going to react, you don't know if they're going to shut you down. And I had like this one lady that messaged me, and she said, you know what, it took me 3 weeks just for her to send a message to me. And that was, you know, that was, even though it was really delightful to hear that, like somebody took 3 weeks to message me, but like, why did it take that long? Like, I feel like that's a huge gap right now. Like, you know, Bianca, what do you think? Like, do you feel like there's lots of representation, but are you having a hard time with getting to those individuals where you can really start to find that mentorship?
Absolutely. I would say it's 50-50. But I would say that being young in the industry and having the personality that I have, I love networking. Like, I tell people all the time, if I could network and get paid for it, that's what I would do. Like, I love it. So I find whenever I'm in spaces with like women that are empowering me or just doing amazing things, I'm always trying to pick their brain. And I can definitely say there's a lot of women that I've seen in the industry, and I would try to latch onto them to get that mentorship, but it would just be like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I'm so happy that you're interested in that. Shoot me an email and we'll talk. And, you know, I would try to like start up a conversation, but it would never go anywhere. And like, it's kind of discouraging because I think there's so much opportunity in the insurance industry. Like the opportunities are endless. And right now I'm a producer, but like my goal is to be in corporate, you know, like be where you guys are. And that's why I'm also so grateful to be on this podcast, because I didn't even know there were so many sectors in insurance, you know, like I just thought, okay, you're either a sales broker, a brokerage owner, or like, you know, so like, I think it's kind of hard figuring out like who to go to get the right mentorship or guidance right now, being younger in the industry.
I think the pandemic has really, that's this idea of this glass wall, right? So now it's not just, oh, I'm fearful just to walk into someone's office, which I think we could deal with. I think if you're a kind-hearted person bringing your whole self to work, you can eliminate that whole, I don't want to walk into your office thing. And there should be no reason that that's happening, none whatsoever. But everyone right now largely is still a box on a screen. So you have to be a particular kind of person to get past that kind of division. But as we open up, as I say, I know so many more senior women who are, we're just really desirous of telling people. I feel so strongly about the benefit of the insurance business. I feel we're given a bad rap. I feel that people don't really fully understand the breadth of the business. As you said, Bianca, it's so broad and so disparate. There's so many different things. It's global. It's national. We don't do enough, particularly amongst those that are young people coming into the business, to really explore that. So I think as the world opens up, and hopefully we're getting there now with passports, we will have much better opportunity for people just to connect and to hear people speak in person. So you can judge, is this a person that I would feel comfortable enough to just go up to after that presentation and say, I'd love to speak to you. Can I have a few minutes? So I really do think, I think there's a lot that will be coming together as we open up again. And I think people are just so desirous of having an opportunity to meet face to face. All of us are, that I think the new world is coming. And I really think this climb and lift, I'm not the only one with that philosophy. I know, Duina, you have the same philosophy. We are all very much banking on we bring our people with us. And if we can't, whatever that may be, then we highlight their work and we say, the work that you loved, that's not my work. That is Edwina's work. That is Bianca's work. And so now they have the approval. They have the name associated with that work. And all of a sudden, they are now front and center. There are so many ways to move other women up with us. I'm really positive we'll be able to make a change when we're sort of all in a place where we can see each other face to face.
I agree with you for sure, Risa. Like, there's nothing like face to face networking. And Bianca, you can probably talk about that because you love networking. And I personally love networking as well. I do miss those like face to face interactions. Everything right now is virtual, so it is a little bit different when it comes to, you know, networking. But networking is just key. It's very important, especially when you're looking for a mentor. And this actually came up in episode 1. And even when you find, you know, ladies that are moving up the ladder, something that came up is like, you know, bringing women that don't always look like you up the ladder with you. And I think that's like, if I can just drop it like a gem again here, like, honestly, like, I feel like, you know, there's those small limitations still within the industry where, you know, women are moving up, they are bringing women that, you know, look like them and talk like them. So at this point, I would love to encourage women, like, you know, if you're moving up the ladder, like, you know, turn to the left, turn to the left, to your right. And if those women look like you, it's time to bring other women up the ladder with you that don't look like you, and to really cause like diversity. When you're looking at the C-suite, that's the only way that we can get to really opening up that conversation about bringing women up the ladder and having women with different backgrounds as well be brought to the table and for that mentorship and grooming. But finding a mentor, you know, I like being in the industry for as long as I am, believe it or not, my two top mentors are actually male counterparts. And when I actually reached out to a woman to mentor me, she started mentoring me for a few months. But then, like Bianca said, it kind of went nowhere, and the individual ended up actually just switching gears and mentoring somebody else. And I tried to keep reaching out. So there is that like stigma right now that we're still trying to break down, you know, where there's women finding success and women not finding success. But my goal is for every woman to be able to find mentorship and grooming no matter what. But Bianca, I would love to hear about networking and how important that is to you. And if you've ever encountered a mentor that was actually able to move past like those first few emails.
Networking is huge for me. I feel like that saying, it's all about, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. That's exactly how I got into insurance. I just knew somebody that was in the industry, and now I'm here 3 years later. I've had a few mentors, I would say, from my last brokerage that were there to guide me and help me out. But again, like, it only lasted for a little bit. I feel like I was very vocal in what I wanted to do. And they were like, yep, we're going to get you there. And the excuse was just always, you need more experience. And I get that. I definitely know that I need more experience, but I'm a very strategic planner. So I want, like, you know, okay, what can I do to get this experience? What does this experience look like? What does my 5-year goal look like? Because again, I'm new. I don't know what I should be doing. I just know what to do in my everyday, but I don't know, like, you know how you switched and now you're with Apollo. And I'm pretty sure in our conversation, Edwina, you know, you said, did you say you started out in sales, or was I mistaken?
You're right. I started off in sales. I was a producer. I did new business as well. And I did do that. Yeah, I did start off.
Yeah. Exactly. So I always hear these women saying, yeah, I was in sales too, and now I'm where I'm at, but they're never giving like the secret on how to get there. So I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. So I know it's possible, but I'm not getting that like one-on-one conversation. Like, here's how you get there. And like, to touch on what Risa said, it's like, they're getting there, but they're not helping others get there. So it's like, we're just seeing everyone at the top, but we don't know the secret on how to get there. So that's kind of my experience. It's that I'm seeing women up there and I'm so inspired and motivated by them, but I just don't feel like I'm getting all the gems that I need to be just like them. So that's kind of my experience.
Yeah, that's a good point too. But yeah, you know, when I started in the industry, I was on a lot of teams, the only woman for sales, right? And I remember, I wasn't invited to golf tournaments or, you know, the things that like that my male counterparts love to do. Just looking back at it, reflecting, and I remember, there was an event happening earlier on in my career. Maybe this was like 12 years ago, and this is why it's so important to ask and speak up, because I remember all of the men were getting ready to go out to a golf tournament. And I was their top producer in the firm, and nobody even asked me to be a part of that. And I remember me just getting up and being like, you know what, this is not fair. I should actually be the first person to be offered to go out. This goes back to Risa's point, and our point that we've been kind of making, is that you need to ask for things and you need to speak up, because nobody's going to know what you're thinking. And nobody's going to know what you want to do unless you actually speak up. But any closing points, Risa, that you would love to make before we go into our actionable items?
I think the only thing I would just pick up on that diversity aspect. So I came to the business, that happened to me numerous times, being left alone when everybody else was all the men in the group, because I was often the only woman. And I think that's the reason why I moved in the middle of the pandemic, to sort of move to an EDI perspective and really try to move that along. The business needs a different view on diversity, but really, truly, the only way we will get there is by doing exactly what you did and say, hold on, what's going on here? And when I've done that and said, what? There's almost like a light, you can actually see the physical light bulb going on. They would say it's not purposeful. We know that's not true, because there's bias involved, but it's about saying, calling it out, so the light bulb goes on, and whether or not it's truly believed or not, they action it because they know the world demands that right now. So once again, I have a lot of optimism. I sort of spend my day being optimistic. I really do think there is change in the horizon in that respect as well. And that voicing your concerns in an appropriate way will move that forward too.
So something that is really dear to my heart is actionable items. So at this time, I'm just going to take a little bit of a step back. The reason why I started to really become bullish with actionable items, because I do remember going to these like empowerment events, like women improvement and, you know, these really inspirational events, and leaving on a high and feeling so excited and just ready to conquer the world. And then I remember, like, you know, a few days would go by and you start getting deflated, and that emotion that you felt leaving the event kind of slows down. And then 2 weeks goes by and you start feeling stuck and you don't really know what to do. And you remember how you felt, but you just don't know, okay, what next? So at this time, I would love to hear from both of you if we can give some real actionable items that our listeners can implement that has worked for you in the past, that they can really take away from today's session. That would be awesome. So we'll go round table. Risa, we would love to hear from you first with that actionable item to let your listener know right now what they can do to implement within their career right now.
So I would say there's three, and I'll tie it also into money, which was, you know, one of our topics today. So one, again, really try to prepare this little, whether it's in your head or on paper, this little mini bio, which you have at the ready and you update frequently to reflect your successes, to reflect your achievements, so that when you're in the position where you have to explain to someone on the move, what your value is, why you think you're ready for another move, and why you're there that day to talk about something. It's ready to go. It's prepared. You're not flustered by it. So I really do think it's an important actionable matter. Two, really importantly, women have a tendency when we talk about money in particular to be willing to start low. I've seen it so many times. Let me get in first. Let me get the rule first. It's a little lower than I wanted, but once they see how great I am, I'll get an increase. I'll move up. And it's really problematic. It's problematic for the individual. And actually, frankly, it's problematic for the entity, because now you've got someone starting at a salary that's below what it ought to have been. And if you've been in the company for any period of time, as you have been doing now, you know, getting HR and getting approval when there's no other change, but you're trying to bring someone up to the salary that it ought to have been, that's super hard. So I guess the message is try to stick to your guns. And I particularly if you're moving places, particularly if you're moving roles, there's a lot to be said for the bravery of saying, this is what I'm worth. I really need this because I've done some market research which support this. And can you consider it? I understand your offer and I really appreciate it, but can you consider it? And I've actually personally loved hearing back two things. One, it's a new role, so we weren't thinking that for the new role. Well, it's a new role, so there's really no ceiling because no one else is in the role. So let's start from the beginning on that one. And two, we've never paid anybody that for the role. So I actually look at that as being an invitation. So justify it. Explain why it is that you're coming with expertise that wasn't in the role before. Have a real discussion about why the number you're asking for is fact-based. Once again, it may not mean you're successful, but I do think you'll end up higher than you would have. And every time you do that, from personal experience, it gets easier and easier and easier. And it's one of those things that from a gendered basis, when we can get comfortable with it, it's not going to change the whole world of inequity and pay. We're working on that. That's going to take some time, but it'll be a good start in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Risa, for that. Oh my gosh, gems are being dropped. And if the listeners right now could grab a notepad and pen and write down all these gems, oh my gosh, I wish I got these when I first started my career as well. Bianca, you starting in the career in the industry right now, what are some things that you can give to somebody on day one of starting in the industry that you never knew for yourself that you can actually give to the actual listener at this time?
Some things that I would say is, first off, you could do this. You got the job because they saw something in you. So 100%, whatever they saw in you, it's there. So you could do this. And like we said in the beginning, know your worth. Always remember your worth no matter what. Even if you have imposter syndrome or if you feel like that you may not be worthy, you are worth it. And if you are not feeling worthy in that position, make the jump and go somewhere else where you are feeling empowered and where you are feeling worthy, because there's always someone out there that's going to see something in yourself that you may not see at that time. And that's honestly sometimes all you need. Someone else will just see that little spark in you. Like Risa said at camp, the camp counselor said to her, you're just doing fine. And at first you were upset, but he showed you that you're so much better than what you think you are right now. So imagine how much better you can get when you think that you're as good as other people see you. So it's just kind of like knowing that worth, knowing your confidence, and just always believing in yourself. And again, not being afraid to just ask and network and meet new people and be inspired. That's pretty much all the actionable items that I kind of have right now.
Thank you so much for that, Bianca. And just to provide some closure with our actionable items, one I would definitely echo what Risa said is really talking about your elevator pitch, right? Like really having something prepared that you can actually pitch yourself at any opportunity and practicing that in the mirror so you can, you know, be confident, sound confident, and really pick up on ways that you can really start to elevate that pitch that you are working on. It's so important. And then also, touching on, learning about the market, right? And and really doing your market research so you can actually go to HR or to whichever department and really, you know, go confidently knowing that what you bring to the table is in alignment to where the market is paying right now. But I'm hoping, you know, by 2025, that women will be brought to the table a lot more, and we're looking at more seats at the table for women versus just the one. So with that being said, I wanted to really thank all of my guests, Risa and Bianca, for joining me today and having a great conversation. I really hope for the listeners that this episode leaves you wanting more and you are able to really create that career that you're looking for, and not leaving, you know, podcasts and all of these empowerment events on a high, but now you're leaving with some real tangible items that you can actually start to use to really help shift gears in your career and build that momentum. So with that being said, thank you ladies so much for joining me. It's been awesome to have you guys on here, and stay tuned for episode 3. We will be launching that very soon. Thank you from your host, Edwina McKinnon, and thank you for being a part of our podcast today at Elevate Career.